chapter 7. And we're going to finish up this chapter tonight, Lord willing. This is a good passage of Scripture. And this is a 35th lesson that we've been in the book of Mark. Mark chapter 7, verse 31 through verse number 37. And tonight, some of you may not realize this or maybe not thought about it, but it's we came to Mount Lebanon on the last Wednesday night in March in 2004. That's how I remember when we came. It was the last, and the only reason I remember that is because I didn't want it to land on April Fool's Day. So we didn't actually, that'll never happen, because we didn't come the first Sunday in April. We came the last Wednesday night in March. And so that's 11 years. Sister Kathleen was asking me the other day, she said, "How long have you been there?" I got to figuring up, and I said, "Well, that's this week." And so it's an anniversary, I guess, but time flies, seems like. Seems like it's hard to imagine that it could have been that long, but when we came, Abigail looked like Chloe. And, of course, Abigail's grown, and Noah. Anyway, good to be here tonight. Let's read Mark chapter 7. Verse number 31 down through verse number 37. Like I said, we'll finish up this chapter. And this has been a passage of Scripture. You know, this is one of them you read and say a lot, wonder what that means. Wonder what that means. If you've not read ahead, you'll think to yourself as we read these verses, wonder what some of these things mean. Why did the Lord do that? Verse 31. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coasts of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears. And he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, "Ephphatha, that is, be opened." And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it. And were beyond measure astonished, saying, "He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak." And so we'll look at these verses tonight. I would just call this, and I'm looking in verse number 32, where the Bible says that he had an impediment in his speech. And we'll just would call this an impediment removed. An impediment removed. When something is impedes, or we talk about an impediment, what that means is that is something that hinders. That is something that is an obstruction. And here we find the Lord Jesus Christ heals a man who had two things wrong with him. Number one, he could not hear. He was deaf. And number two, I believe that he could speak, but he just couldn't speak plainly. So he probably is an individual that could hear before, but he had lost his hearing, and maybe through that some way he had also lost his ability to speak plainly. And the reason I say that is because in verse 35, the Bible said, "And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain." I believe before this he couldn't speak plain, and we know for a fact that he couldn't hear. Now, to the Jews that were looking for the Messiah, this ability to, as it says in the last part of verse number 37, "He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak," this was an unmistakable sign that this was the Messiah. If you read and study in the Old Testament scriptures, that was one of the prophecies about the Messiah. And if you think about nobody in the Old Testament, none of the prophets, you don't read about the deaf hearing and the blind being able to see until you come to anything to do with the Messiah. The Messiah was going to have the ability. He was going to have the power to do this. Now, we're going to turn back in the Old Testament. You might want to just mark a few of these verses, but we'll find some real close together here. Isaiah chapter 29. Keep your place in the book of Mark, and we'll just point out some examples of what we're talking about, that the Messiah, the Christ, when he comes, he's going to be able to do things that nobody else has been able to do. And this is how the Jewish people would recognize their Messiah. Isaiah chapter 29, verse number 18. We're just going to read a few of these verses. The Bible said in verse number 18, "And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness." Look at Isaiah chapter 32, a couple of chapters over. Isaiah chapter 32, verse 2, or verse number 3 and verse number 4. It said in verse number 3, "And the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. The heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers shall be ready to speak plainly." And I believe this is one of the examples. I believe this man would have been a stammerer. He was not able to speak plainly, but he was made able to speak plainly by the command of the Lord Jesus. Now, if you look here in chapter 32, verse 1, it says, "Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment." So it begins in chapter 32 talking about a king coming and what this king is going to be able to do. Now, the Jews, some of them wanted to make him king, but they wanted to make him king on their terms. But he would not be made king on their terms. He had to be made king on his terms, that he was offering them the kingdom. Well, they, of course, were interested in somebody that could heal people, feed the multitudes, calm the storms. Who wouldn't want a king like that? So his fame, and we'll see this tonight, is spread abroad. I mean, this is not a thing that was done in a corner. Everybody knew and had heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, one more verse here in Isaiah chapter number 35. Look over there. Isaiah chapter 35 and verse number 5. The Bible said, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing." And you know that dumb means somebody that cannot speak. That's what it's talking about. The tongue of the dumb sing. "For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert." And so those that were looking for the Messiah, they should have been able to recognize him if they knew the Old Testament, if they were familiar with it, because the Bible prophesied that when the king comes, when the Messiah comes, he's going to be able to do these things. So those that were looking should have recognized him by the Word of God. You want to know what the Lord Jesus looks like? Look in the Bible. Look in the Bible. That's how we learn about him. That's how we know him. Now, go back to chapter number 7, Mark chapter number 7. And we're going to point out just a few things about this man that was deaf. He had his tongue loosed, or his impediment, his hindrance removed. First thing I want to point out tonight, there's in verse number 31, we're going to call this a sorrowful case. A sorrowful case. Verse 31, we'll begin there though. It said, "And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis." Now, This is a return trip. He's already been through here before. Decapolis, the word Decapolis, it means 10 cities. Like we would hear somebody talk about a metropolis. That's a huge city. Deca is 10. 10 cities. And these are cities that some of them you would recognize and some of them you wouldn't. But he's talking, this area around the Sea of Galilee is where that it's talking about. Now, the last time that he left Decapolis, just by way of introduction, look back in chapter number 5. Chapter number 5, the last time that we see the Lord Jesus Christ in and around this place called Decapolis. Mark chapter 5, verse number 19. This is where the man with a demon is healed. The demon is cast out. And you remember the demon, the legion of demons went into the herd of swine and went down in and drowned. And, you know, they didn't want the Lord there anymore. That's Mark chapter 5, verse 19. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not. Now this man that had the demon cast out, he wanted to go with the Lord Jesus. And the Lord wouldn't let him. But saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. The last time we find the Lord in Decapolis, that's what happened. And this one man went into Decapolis and began to publish or tell in those 10 cities what the Lord had done for him. Now, if you don't think that one young convert on fire for the Lord can make a big difference, what about this? You get somebody like this person, and his life is completely turned around. And boy, you talk about a powerful testimony. You mean that's the same fella that was up there in the cemetery crying and cutting himself and running around naked and nobody could do anything with him? That's the one. And he went about and began to tell and publish what the Lord had done for him. Now when the Lord comes back through Decapolis, this time, now, the first time they prayed him to depart out of their coast. They didn't want him there. But now, in chapter number 7, we come back over here, and everywhere the Lord goes, there is a multitude. There's people everywhere. It says a multitude in verse number 33. It said, and he took him aside from the multitude. And everywhere the Lord went, there's a great crowd now. One person had a great impact. Now, we know the fame of the Lord Jesus spread, but now this one fella going and telling what the Lord had done for him made a huge difference. But we're going to look and we're going to see this sorrowful case in verse number 32. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him. Now, word has spread concerning the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to heal. And we've already seen and pointed out his fame was so great, there was literally nowhere the Lord could hide. There's nowhere he could go to get away from the crowds. If you look back in chapter 6, verse 33, it said over there, and the people saw them departing, and many knew him and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and out went them and came together unto him. And when the Lord Jesus got into a ship and was just going to go a short distance, they saw, that's him. And they'd run ahead of the ship. Well, they're waiting for him when he gets out. Chapter 7, verse number 24. We saw this last time. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into a house and would have no man know it. He went into a house and didn't want anybody to know. But look what it says. But he could not be hid. There was nowhere he could go to get away from everybody. This the fame, the Lord Jesus being there, everybody knew about it. Chapter 8, when we come to this next time, chapter 8, verse 1. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto them and saith unto them, great multitude, everywhere he went, nowhere he could go that he could hide. So we come to this man in verse number 32. There's three things about him I want to point out. Number one, they bring unto him one that was deaf. We all know what that means. He couldn't hear. They bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. He could not speak right. Then it says in verse number 32, now look at this, and they bring unto him. Somebody brought this man to the Lord Jesus. And when they brought him, the last part of verse number 32, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him. There's two groups here. There's the deaf man. The deaf man is a type of the lost individual. Those that are lost are deaf to the voice of God. They can't hear it. You can sit in church a long time, lost, and never hear the message. Never hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Never hear the convicting voice of the Holy Spirit of God. A lost person, the Bible says that they are dead in their trespasses and their sins. They can't hear right. They cannot speak right. I was saying about this today over in Romans chapter number 3, and I was going to write it down, but I think it'd be good to look over there if you keep your place. Romans chapter number 3, we're all familiar. Romans 3 and 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But have you ever noticed what it says about a man's speech and about how he talks and about his throat and all these things? A lost person cannot hear right. They cannot speak right. They cannot see right. They're lost. They're undone before God. Romans chapter 3 verse 12 says, they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery in their ways and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. They're in bad shape. A lost person cannot hear right. They cannot speak right. They cannot see right. And that's what this man is a type of. He's a picture of. Now, he is one person we're looking at, but in verse number 32, I want to look at this other group. And who are they? And then that, if you look on down in the last part of verse number 32, it said, and they beseech him to put his hand upon them. They are a type of the concerned believer. Somebody loved this man enough. Somebody cared enough about this man. Although they couldn't do anything for themselves, they cared enough for him to get him to the Lord Jesus Christ. They are a type of the concerned believer. And they, whoever they are, now I take it by they, there's more than one of them. There's some people, they brought this man and they said, Lord, here's my friend. He's a sorrowful case. We cannot do anything but bring him to you. Lord, please touch him. That's what they wanted. They couldn't do anything to help him. That's how it is with the lost. You can talk and you can debate sometimes, and you can show, and you know, you can do a whole lot of things, but when it comes right down to it, what they need, and I was talking to somebody today, and another brother in the Lord, and we were talking about somebody that we both know and we're praying for and trying to witness to, and we're saying, well, this is good and this is good, but then we said, you know, but comes right down to it, they just need the Lord. I just need the Lord. It's good to see people make improvements, turn over a good leaf, try, all that kind of stuff. But when it comes right down to it, they just got to get to the Lord, and He's got to touch them. And that's about all we can do for a lost person is get them to the Lord, love them enough. Now, you can't save them. You can't open their eyes. You can't make them hear. But if we can just get them to the Lord, and if the Lord would touch them, they'll be made whole. And that makes all the difference in the world. That's what they are a type of. They bring this man. He's a sorrowful case. He's in bad shape. And that's what we see in verse 33. But we look on, I see this. I see the saving Christ. There's a sorrowful case, but there's the saving Christ. In verse number 33, look what the Lord did. It said, and He took him aside from the multitude and put His fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. Now that's one of them verses you read and you say, wonder what that means. Wonder why the Lord did that. We're going to look at this. First of all, though, verse 33, the very first part, it said, and He took him aside from the multitude. Any person that gets saved has a similar experience. What do you mean by that? He took him aside from the multitude. I was thinking today about when Paul got saved on the road to Damascus, and he saw the bright light and he heard the voice of the Lord, and later on Paul testified and he said, I have seen the Lord. He saw the Lord. He heard His voice. If you ever noticed over there in Acts chapter number 9, the other men that were with him didn't know really what had happened. That was a personal transaction. Although it was out in the open and other people were there, that was a personal transaction between the Lord Jesus Christ and between Saul. The Lord took him aside from the multitude. I thought about when I got saved as a little 9-year-old boy and how afraid I always was of just being in front of everybody. That just scared me to death. Think about doing anything in front of anybody in church. It just terrified me. But you know, when I got saved and when I came to the altar, you don't always have to go to the altar, but I did. That was a big step for me. But it just as well have been just me and the Lord. Is that real? It's that real. When the Lord saves you, here's what I'm saying. When the Lord saves you, He deals with you personally. One-on-one. He'll take you aside from the multitude. He'll save you in a crowd. He'll save a person on a street corner. He'll save a person on an airplane. I've heard all kinds of testimonies. He'll save a person in their apartment or in their home. He'll save you. He took this man aside. He dealt with this man individually. They got away from the crowd and He dealt with him one-on-one. The Lord deals with us one-on-one. Everybody the Lord saves, He saves them as a personal individual. He goes to them. He deals with them. He deals with them. That's how we know after we're saved He's real. You have the testimony. I wasn't just getting in on a big crowd. He came to me. He spoke to me. He dealt with my heart. So He took him aside. Now, in the next part of verse 33, there's three things that the Lord did to this man that I've been studying about, praying about, and I've been thinking to myself, why? What does that mean? What is going on here? Look at this. It said that, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. Now, I think we'd probably all agree, and I'm not being not being derogatory towards what the Lord did, but I believe that's strange. That's odd. That is odd the way the Lord dealt with this man. We don't see anything exactly. There's some other similarities, but we don't see anything exactly like this. So I was studying about this, and this is one of them areas where you can read all the commentaries you want to, and nobody says a thing about what you really want to know. I want to know why the Lord done that. Seems like everybody else has the same problem. I want to know what was going on here. What does it mean? What is it, a symbol, symbolic of something? Is it a type of something? What is this strange thing that the Lord does here? Now, here's something that you need to keep in mind just when studying your Bible. When you and I are studying our Bible, there's going to be many things that are strange to us, that are unexplained, that are hard to understand. What do you do when you come to a passage of Scripture and you're having trouble with it? I think a lot of times the reason we have trouble in studying our Bible, we're trying to look real deep into something. We're looking for the hidden message in it. Sometimes there's not anything like that. It's right there on the surface, what the Lord is doing. If it's not explained in another passage of Scripture, or if something is not very evident what it's talking about, what I always try to do is go back and look at it and say, Lord, let me see how simple this is. Lord, let me see what's really going on here. So think with me just a minute tonight. What is going on in this passage of Scripture? We have to keep in mind this man that come to the Lord, he's deaf. He can't hear what the Lord or anybody else is saying. He's deaf. There is a multitude there. Now, I would think if you were deaf, that the more people that were around and the more commotion that's going on, the harder it would be for you to understand what's going on because you're trying to take it all in. Man, these people everywhere, they're talking to Jesus about this man. This man is standing there. He may know why they've come there, and he may understand, he may not understand all the way what's going on. He may have had a good understanding before, but he may not. But there's a lot of people. He's deaf. I ask myself a question. I wonder how much he really understood. Why they had brought him to this man. So the Bible says in verse 33, and he took him aside from the multitude. And I was thinking about what would this look like. You know, the Bible says in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. But what if you couldn't hear? What if you couldn't hear? Well, there's always sign language. Of course, we realize not like we think about that deaf people have today. But I believe this is just what the Lord is doing with this man. He is trying to communicate with him what he's getting ready to do for him. And so what does the Lord Jesus do? Now you think about it. If the man was deaf and he takes him aside, and he looks, he faces him eyeball to eyeball, and the Lord takes his hands and his fingers and he puts them in that man's ears. You think that man would begin to understand what the Lord is getting ready to do? And the Bible said he spit. Now, I don't believe he spit on that man. I just believe what the Bible says. He spit and he touched his tongue. I believe he was communicating to that man, I'm getting ready to open your ears. And you know, sometimes if we're having trouble talking, we'll say, I just can't spit it out. And I believe the Lord was communicating to him, I'm getting ready to touch your tongue. I'm getting ready to make a difference in your ears and in your mouth, because that's where your problem is. And so we see that the Lord does this, and I believe, say, what does all that mean? I believe he was just trying to get him to understand that he might believe, that his faith might become engaged here, that he would believe what Jesus is getting ready to do. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. And the Lord's letting him know what he's getting ready to do. And in verse 34, the Bible said, in looking up to heaven, he's still dealing with this deaf man. Looking up to heaven, that deaf man would always remember when the Lord touched him. And he'd always remember that before the Lord touched him, he looked up to heaven. We need to remember where our blessings come from. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. James chapter 1, verse number 17. That's going to be a reminder to this man. This is where this comes from. This is where this is coming from. The Lord Jesus was God manifest in the flesh, but here's a lesson to this individual. He, looking up to heaven, he sighed. The Bible doesn't say what kind of sigh that was. Was it because of this man's sorrowful case? Was it because he had compassion upon him like the multitudes over there? Was it because the Lord Jesus knew the effect of sin upon humanity? I don't know exactly why he sighed, but I believe this deaf man would have made the connection. It meant something to him. See, the Lord's dealing with this man. And he sighed, and in verse number 34 it said, and saith unto him, I need my tongue loosed when I go to pronounce that. You can pronounce it if you don't look at it real close. He saith unto him, be opened. That's what that means. Be opened. And that was at the point. Now you notice there that happened by the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have a saving Christ. And then we have a sudden change. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And look what it says in verse 35. And straightway his ears were opened. And I believe it's significant that the hearing came first before the speech. A lot of people never learn anything because they're talking and won't listen. But God opened his ears first. And then the tongue came after that. Straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. You ever heard about somebody being tongue-tied? Wonder if that's where that phrase comes from. Could very well be. This man was tongue-tied, but the string of his tongue was loosed. And in the last part of verse 35, the Bible says he spake plain. You ever been around somebody that has just gotten saved, and it's amazing how they all of a sudden begin to speak right? Before they got saved, nothing they said made any sense, and it was gibberish and rubbish and a lot of nonsense. But you get somebody that gets saved by the grace of God, and it's amazing how quickly they'll speak plainly. They'll say, you know, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I didn't understand before, but now I understand what the Lord's done for me. He'll make you speak plain. That man couldn't speak right before. His throat was an open sepulcher, and there's poison in his lips. But after he got saved by the grace of God, you begin to speak plain, begin to make sense. Verse 36, the Bible said, now it said, and he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it. I wonder to myself, did they think the Lord was just being modest? Don't go tell anybody. But the more he told them not to tell, the more they told it. That's what it says in verse 36. He charged them they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more, a great deal they published it. I like that. And I have never noticed before that the Bible says the more a great deal They published it. Now, we live in a day and time, people make a big deal about this and a big deal about that. They make a great deal about things. But really, the only thing that we ought to make a big deal about is the things the Lord has done. The Lord had really done something. They seen it. And they made a great deal. Or we might say they made a big deal about what the Lord had done. And they published it. And in verse number 37, and were beyond measure astonished. They were beyond measure. That same phrase is over in chapter 6, verse number 51. Where the Lord walked on the sea, and they'd been in the wind storm. In chapter 6, verse 51, and he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. It just astounded. It blew their minds. And it was the same thing here. As the Bible says, they were astonished. It's just beyond believable what they had seen, what they had heard, what the Lord had done. They would stand there and say, I can't believe that. I can't believe it. That's what that means, beyond measure. And then it says this, and here's something maybe you've heard preached on before. They were beyond measure astonished, saying, this is a good one to underline, he hath done all things well. You ever heard that preached on? He's done all things well. What did he do? Not just this one thing, everything he done. Well, that can't be said about us. I mess up about more than I get right. But the Lord, he's done all things well. He's done all things well. And then, again, a reference. They should have recognized him as the Messiah. He maketh both. Here's what they were talking about. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. That should have been like a neon flashing light. He's the Messiah. He's the Messiah. He's the one written about. He's the one prophesied about. This verse made me think of Exodus chapter 4 and verse 10. And Moses over there when God told him to go down and speak to Pharaoh. And Exodus chapter 4 verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. But I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Moses said, I can't do that. I'm not a good speaker. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? That's what the Lord told Moses. Who made man's mouth anyway? Have not I the Lord? I close by saying this. You know what it said over there? He hath done all things well. If you hang around just a little while, it doesn't take long. You'll see that the Lord knows what he's talking about. Moses said, Lord, it's a bad idea. I can't speak. I'm slow to. I just can't do it. The Lord knew what he was talking about. We offer up all kinds of excuses before the Lord, but if we just be around the Lord and the things that he does, it doesn't take long to see. He's done it all well. He knows what he's doing. He made man's mouth, and he's able to open, and he's able to close, and he's able to do all these things. And so I get a great blessing out of this passage of Scripture. The biggest blessing I got out of it is thinking about how the Lord took great pains that this man would understand what he was getting ready to do for him. He deals with us where we are. Where we are. And he communicated and then he healed him. And what a blessing. So we'll stop right there tonight.